One of the most popular roller coasters at Kennywood Amusement Park outside Pittsburgh is the Exterminator.
You, like, basically go up a few hills, go down a few hills. It's really dark, and then for most of it, you're just spinning the entire time.
Emma Stacy is 19 years old. She manages the crew that operates the ride. Passengers sit inside a giant spinning rat, trying to dodge robotic exterminators.
It just basically sounds like a guy, like, screaming, "Exterminate!" And then you just keep going.
That sounds awful, I'm going to be honest.
Honestly, I think it's amazing.
Emma's been working here 4 summers now. And this year, she got a nice pay bump. She went from making $9.25 an hour last year to $14.25 an hour this year. Have you ever been paid this much for a summer job?
I have not.
So what does it feel like?
It feels really good. I really like having money, so.
Emma isn't the only teen raking it in these days. Here's our colleague Catherine Dill.
What we're seeing in the broader labor market right now is that employers are so hungry for people to hire that they are having to go beyond the typical pool of talent that they've been drawing on for the last several years.
Which means the teen labor market is red hot. Employers are jacking up wages and adding perks.
If you're a teenager, you have some power right now in the job market. Employers aren't just willing to hire you. Many of them really need you.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Tuesday, June 14th. Coming up on the show, the booming job market for teens.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Many summers ago, before I started doing this podcast, I was a teenager making smoothies at a Jamba Juice in Oregon. As for my colleague Catherine,
I worked in the AV department of the public library in the town I grew up in Illinois. Yeah.
So you were a huge nerd.
A huge nerd, yeah. I worked my way through all of the departments of the public library, but AV was my primary gig. And so I, you know, checked things in and out. DVD cleaning was very big in those days in the early aughts. It was a great job.
So you were actually like the cool kid because you had access to all of the library's movies.
Exactly. I could get a new DVD as soon as it was returned, and I could also clear fines.
Oh, wow. So you were definitely like the most popular kid in the library, at least.
Yeah, unchecked raw power. Yeah.
When I was working at Jamba Juice, it was just a part-time thing to get extra money for, you know, teenagery things. But that's not the case for everyone.
You know, it's worth noting that some teens are working full-time, and that's their full-time focus, and many of them are contributing to household incomes.
And right now, the labor market for teenagers is the best it's been in more than half a century. For the second summer in a row, teen unemployment is around 10%, which would be high for the overall workforce. But for the teen workforce?
The last time it was that low, it was 1953. To put that in context, you could get a hamburger for 15 cents if you had dropped some coins into a jukebox. You might have heard Patti Page singing, "How much was that doggy in the window?"
How much is that doggy in the window?
I've never heard of that song in my life.
You're missing out. You could have borrowed it on a CD from your local public library's AV department.
But since then, teens have been having a harder and harder time finding a job.
So teen unemployment has been climbing overall for decades. You know, like general unemployment, it kind of goes up when there's a recession and then it comes back down. But the broad trend for decades has been upwards.
Goodbye to the summer job. Well, it turns out that fewer teens are working over summer vacation.
Since 1985, the percentage of teens in the workforce has gone way down.
In 1979, 60% of teenagers were working. In 2018, only 35% of teens are working. That, to me, seems...
Catherine says there's a few reasons why teen unemployment kept getting worse.
One of them is automation. You know, many of the types of jobs that teens have held traditionally, cashier, or the example a lot of people like to give is you know, video store clerk. Those jobs just don't exist anymore. And in the places where they do exist, there are fewer of them. And also in some of those decades, we saw some recent immigrants also finding themselves in jobs that teens might have previously held, which was a shift.
And how do teens feel about that?
Well, you know, a significant thing is that in the years that the labor market was changing in these ways, teens' lives were also changing. So, you know, when we talk about how teens aren't working, what we mean is that they haven't been working for money in ways that would be captured by federal data. They are, many of them, busier than ever. They do more coursework. They do unpaid internships. A lot of them do altruistic and also resume-building volunteer work now.
But for teens who have wanted to keep working, there have been some periods when it was especially hard. Like after the 2008 financial crisis, teen unemployment took off.
It reached almost 27%.
Hmm.
And it came down, but it did stay really high for a number of years after that. And the big reason for that is that, you know, in those years, low wage and hourly jobs, retail, food service, the types of jobs that teens often held, were being held by adults who had lost other jobs and not been able to get rehired. And in many cases, many of those adults had multiple of those jobs. And so teens were really squeezed out.
Teen unemployment stayed high for a long time. And when the pandemic hit, things only got worse.
Teen unemployment skyrocketed. And, you know, there are a lot of clear reasons for that. The places that a lot of teens work, you know, restaurants, pools, summer camps, stores, those places, most of them were closed. So we saw higher unemployment rates among teens than ever.
By April 2020, nearly one-third of all young people aged 16 to 19 were jobless in the U.S., a historic high. But then, last year, something started to change.
As things started to open up and return, we saw a few conditions come into focus. The other things that teens were doing with their time hadn't returned in the ways that hourly work had. So they had this newfound time.
Newfound time that they could fill with paid work. The other thing that happened was that a bunch of adults were quitting, creating a labor shortage.
We've seen what some people have referred to as the Great Resignation play out at different parts of the labor market. You know, we've seen folks, many of them who had blue-collar or hourly jobs, upskilling into jobs that are more akin to office jobs but might be performed at home. We saw, you know, households capitalizing on newfound savings, rethinking whether both parents wanted to be working necessarily if there were young kids at home. We saw people making a lot of these big changes.
And that created a jobs bonanza for teens.
It meant that those help wanted signs were speaking right to them in a lot of cases.
And why would employers want to hire teenagers?
Well, many employers are really desperate for workers. They've turned to other parts of the pool to find people to fill these jobs. And in many cases, it's employing teens is how they've kept their businesses open.
After the break, teens go back to work, but not without some demands.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Teen workers are having one of the best summers since the Eisenhower era. Employers are desperate to fill positions, which means that some teens are finding they hold some negotiating power. A few weeks ago, 17-year-old Malachi Allen saw a job posting at a Smoothie King in Dallas. He got on the phone with the manager.
In my mind, it was like I just wanted the max pay. I knew I already had previous work experience from my former job.
The gig advertised $9 to $11 an hour. When the manager offered him $9, Malachi played hardball, reasoning that he'd already had experience with the cash register.
And I told her I wanted $11, and she asked why. And I told her, you know, the whole point, I don't want to just plateau or get paid less or even the same amount of money from a year previous. So obviously I wanted more money from, you know, this year. And my last job, I was getting paid $9.50 at that time.
And asking for more money was exhilarating.
It kind of made me feel a bit of a businessman. It's pretty cool. You know, this is an adult. I'm speaking to the general manager. And here is me barely even 17 trying to negotiate, you know, the highest pay I could possibly get.
And it worked. Not only did Malachi get the job, he also got $11 an hour. He started last week. And the job comes with some nice perks.
It's close home. It said a free smoothie, so I don't have to worry about, you know, spending money for a lunch. And I can just get a little extra money in my pocket. So it was all around a perfect opportunity for me.
Our colleague Catherine says that what Malachi is experiencing is not unique. Teens are getting higher wages in all kinds of jobs.
You know, we're also seeing stories of, like, teen babysitters who are charging, in some cases, you know, $30 an hour now.
Wow.
Because childcare is also in short supply for, you know, sort of on-demand childcare for parents who just want to go out for an evening. So we're just seeing them faced with a much better array of options than they might have had a couple of years ago.
So you've been talking to some teenagers. What are they saying to you about why they are deciding to go back into the job market?
Well, a lot of the teens I talked with share these really logical reasons. You know, they want the money, but they also want skills. You know, that confidence, handling, you know, a bunch of different responsibilities, showing up on time. Those are all things that teens can pick up, even in some of these hourly jobs that they might not be thinking of as a career launching pad. They're still gaining those soft skills. And for some of them, you know, it's a great opportunity to spend time with other people and other people your age. And that's something a lot of them have been really starved of during the pandemic.
What are companies discovering about these teenagers that they're hiring? Are they good workers or are they, like, slacking off and ghosting?
Well, one of the employers that I spoke with who was able to open a business during the pandemic using almost entirely teen workers when he couldn't hire adults said that the teens that he's hired make great workers.
That employer owns a bakery. And while the teens are vital to his operation, he told Catherine they do have some specific needs.
When they go back to school, everybody wants to still work Saturdays. That's not always possible. You know, when the school year starts, he has to scramble around sometimes to fill his schedule. But then around the holidays, everybody wants to come back and just work those specific weeks. So there are these additional considerations. But the thing that he really pointed out was that there's a responsibility to giving someone their first job. And he said for him, that meant just stretching out the training process a little bit more. So he spends time, you know, teaching them all the fancy coffee drinks they serve and the point of sale system. But he said, really, it's about making them confident in dealing with customers.
But even though teens have a lot more power now, they aren't always comfortable wielding that power.
I think it's important to remember that even with all of the change, all of these factors, that in many ways, teens are still teens. It's still nerve-wracking to talk to the manager of a movie theater. You know, if you're 15, you may not necessarily be thinking about the intricacies of the broader labor market. They're still contending with the things that all job seekers face, you know, the anxiety of a lot of these first-time experiences.
How long do you think that this will last? Do you think that teen unemployment will be low now again for years, or is this just going to be kind of like a blip?
It's tough to know because of some of these rapidly changing factors. You know, there are considerations like the rest of the quote-unquote world sort of coming back to life, you know, and things like internships, which may have been remote, coming back in person, you know, some of the other things that competed for teens' time, big summer camps, big like academic related and sports related in-person events, all of those being back in full force will certainly provide some competition for hourly work.
What did you learn about life working at the AV department at the library?
Well, I loved that job. And looking back on that now, I think about, you know, the ecosystem of work just seemed so rich to me, even when sometimes I was like pouring distilled water into the DVD cleaning machine in a closet in the basement of the public library. It still all seemed really fascinating to me.
You know, what you're saying resonates with me because even though my first job was much less interesting at Jamba Juice, I learned two very important things. One, it's not good to gossip about your coworkers. And two, smoothies are delicious.
They are delicious.
That's all for today, Tuesday, June 14th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Rachel Wolf. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.